let's start off with this idea. You know, we have been given a life, and it has been given to us by God. Matter of fact, as Joe spoke on Tuesday, God is the giver of life, and God is also the taker of life. It's not ours to take. It's God's business. That involves things like abortion. That involves things like suicide. That involves things like euthanasia. God is the one that gave us this life. You know, many times, because we have a life and because the culture that we're in, we view life as being our own. And that is absolutely the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Our life does not belong to us. It's not mine to decide what I do with it. My life as a child of God belongs to God. That's not what our culture teaches, is it? Several years ago, I saw a new Pepsi slogan, and actually it's been around for quite some time now. Some of you have probably seen this. The Pepsi slogan, live for now. And you know what? I don't expect Pepsi to have any other thought. They want you to live for the moment. They want you to enjoy it right now. But honestly, this is what our culture tries to teach us. That it's your life, so enjoy it. Do with it what you want. Live for now. I was in a Nike store not too long ago and was looking through some of the t-shirts there and came across this t-shirt and took a picture of it. My way, all day. And you know, I've been around a lot of children that's their mantra, right? I want to get my way all day. And you know, it's kind of cute and funny when they're little. It's not really cute, but we kind of treat it that way. It's actually still disobedient when a child acts that way. But as you get older and you get into your teenage years and college years, into your young adult life, you know what? To have this kind of attitude really stinks biblically. It's completely against what God would say. And I know it's kind of a fun Nike slogan, whatever. I know there's a lot of arrogant things people put on their shirts these days. But many times this is the way we think. My way. Hey, live for now. Do what you want. It's your life. Enjoy it. How many times have you seen a professional athlete when they get asked why they made the decision to switch teams or whatever they did? They'll say something like this. I just had to do what's best for me. And you know what? We don't think too much about that because we kind of expect that from them. But what about you and I as believers in Jesus Christ? Should we ever, ever answer a question of why did you make that choice with saying, I just had to do what's best for me? And no, we shouldn't. Because that is not a biblical mentality. Several years ago, I took my family. My dad took my family to Disney World. I would not have been able to afford that. And we all went and were enjoying Disney World and we went to the parade. And there were several things about the parade that disturbed me. One was the loud blaring music. One was the way some of them were dressed. But another thing that really bothered me was the philosophy that was coming out in the music that was being played. I went back just a couple years ago, actually, when Julie was battling cancer. There was an organization that sent our family to Disney World. This would have been just a little over 4 years ago. And we were there and heard the same theme going on during the parade. And the theme that was going on in the parade was from a popular song. And here's the lyrics to some of that song. Here's some of the lyrics to the song. It's the time of your life. You don't want to miss out right here and now. There's so many reasons why you don't want to stop. Here's your chance. Live it up. And everything you do, celebrate you. Well, you know what? When you're at Disney World and you're in the moment, I mean, those magical moments, right? I mean, you're just dreaming, right? Just dreaming and it'll come true. All that, you know, all that hogwash, right? When you're in that moment and you hear, and everything you do, celebrate you, it's like, oh, yes, yes, just celebrate. And then you step back and you go, you know what? Is that really what God asks of us? That as you try and sum up what you're seeking in life, and everything you do, celebrate you. And this is what our culture is expressing to us. This is what we're told. It's couched in the way of self-esteem at times. It's couched in the way of you just being true to yourself or being authentic. When in reality, what the Bible teaches is something completely different. It's not live for now. It's not my way all day. It's not celebrate you. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're not your own. Life doesn't belong to you. Why not? Because you are bought with a price. If you are a child of God, if Jesus Christ has saved you, He has purchased you with His blood, and your life is not your own. So therefore, Paul goes on, therefore, since you know that, do what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So instead of live for now, it's live for eternity. 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 is very clear that's where our perspective ought to be. Instead of my way all day, it's God's way all day. What does He want? What does He have for me? Instead of in everything you do, celebrate you, it's I'm going to celebrate the opportunity I have to live my life and give it for Jesus Christ because He has saved me. I love the old hymn, Jesus paid it all. And the whole point of that hymn is exactly what this is saying. Jesus paid it all. So what's the response? Some of you know the hymn. What is it? All to Him I owe. You see, young man, your life is not your own to decide what you want to do. It doesn't belong to you. Young lady, your life is not your own to do whatever you want. It's not yours. Jesus Christ purchased you with His blood by dying on the cross for you. And so your body, your life belongs to Him. So therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've seen several verses in Philippians this week that go right along with this. Philippians 1, that Christ should be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul says, listen, I just want Christ to be magnified, whether that means I'm staying alive or whether I die. For me to live is Christ. That's what life is to Paul. And to die would be gain, because it's all about Christ. Philippians 2, 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I'm not here for me. I'm here to give my life to God and to serve and minister to others. Philippians 3, 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. For what purpose? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them as dung, that I may win Christ. You see, the perspective biblically is completely flip-flopped from what our culture tells us. Your life is not your own. Pursue Christ. You say, well, it might be hard if I do that. It probably will be. There will be uncomfortable things. You won't fit into this culture. That's why we're called to be salt and light. It will be difficult. And that's why the Apostle Paul, in facing great difficulties and great trials and the prospect of future difficulties, said this in Acts 20, 24, but none of these things move me. In other words, all these difficulties, they don't move me. He says, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why not? That I might finish my course with joy in the ministry that I have received to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. He said, my purpose is pleasing Christ. So all these things that are difficult for me personally, hey, that's not going to shift my focus from serving Jesus Christ. By God's grace and in His providence, I've had the opportunity to spend a lot of time on the mission field. Over the last several years, I've been to the Philippines, I believe it's 8 different times. Been to Hong Kong 3 or 4 different times. I've been in Japan, been in Papua New Guinea, been in Brazil, Romania, in several other places. And every time I go overseas, every time, I come back with this question in my mind. And matter of fact, it usually starts before I even get back. I come back with this question: Lord, am I supposed to be at the Wilds? Or am I supposed to be somewhere else? Matter of fact, a couple years ago, Tiffany and I were in Brazil. When I came back from Brazil, matter of fact, I remember exactly where we were. We were driving down Frozen Creek Road, which is one of the roads that runs right out here beside the camp. We were driving down Frozen Creek Road, and I thought, Lord, I don't know if I should bring this up to Tiffany because of all that she's had to adjust to, but I'm going to go ahead and bring it up. And I said, what would you say if I told you that I'm very seriously thinking maybe the Lord is moving us away from the Wilds and moving us overseas to minister to where there's not much ministry going on? I was driving. I didn't even look at her. I was like, oh, boy. And she goes, if that's what God wants us to do, let's do it. It's like, wow. And we started praying week in, week out together that if the Lord wanted us to do that, He would make it very clear. I put some feelers out. I have notes on my computer I could show you of plans that I was making. And you know what? God didn't clearly direct that way. Obviously, I'm still here, right? But you know what I said? I said, Lord, maybe the reason You want me to stay here, even though the opportunities are enormous overseas, is maybe because I can have the opportunity to challenge thousands of young people about lifting their eyes, seeing the harvest, and going somewhere where there is not much light at all for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as I started thinking about this Christian Life seminar, I reached out to several of my friends that I know that are ministering around the world. And I expressed to them this desire. And here's what I said. I said, you know what? I want to challenge young people with the opportunity to look and go, you know what? It's not my life. I'm going to submit it to God. God, what do You want me to do? And I want to cast a vision for young people to say, maybe God would someday want me to go somewhere overseas and spread the gospel. And here's my burden in this particular session today. I think most of you know that if you want to be a pastor or a church planner or a Bible teacher, you can go on deputation for a couple years, maybe longer, raise support, and go be on the mission field. And you can do that. You come back every 4 years, kind of a furlough thing. You know a lot of that terminology. But here's the vision I want to cast. I want to cast a vision for you this afternoon that you don't have to be a preacher or Bible teacher to serve God overseas. There are hundreds of opportunities for you to take whatever skill God has given you, whatever field of work that you want to go into, and use it for the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. You like English? Hey, guess what? There's a place for you. You like the medical field? There's a place for you. You like business? There's a place. And I could go on and on and on. And here's the vision I want you to have this, as you leave today, is that, Lord, whatever it is, I am willing to do it, even if that means I take my family and move overseas. Do you realize how the world is shrinking? I mean, I connect with people all over the world all the time. And as you're going to see here in just a few moments, God is using these people to help spread the gospel to places all around the world. The first video that we're going to watch is from a friend of mine, Matt Jones. He has worked at camp several times. His kids have been at camp here. And he is in Thailand. You'll see I asked him to do a video that would kind of show off a little bit of the culture, and he found a unique way to do it. So let's watch this video, first of all, from Matt Jones in Thailand.
Greetings from northeastern Thailand. We're the Jones family. My name is Matt. This is my wife, Courtney. Say hi, Courtney.
Hi.
And this is my kids here, the Jones kids, Lindsay, Erica, Trevor, and Tyler. Say hi, kids.
Hi.
This is not my kid. This is an elephant. We might look the same. Just coincidental, all right? The Wilds asked us to do a short promotional video and tell you guys about some opportunities to serve the Lord that you might have never thought about before. For us, when we think about missions, we think there's really four different ways that you could get involved in missions as a young person. And one of those you're probably familiar with is the idea of going on a missions trip. Missions trips are great. It's a great place to start, and I think everybody there today should go on a missions trip. All you got to do is get your passport, go save a little bit of money, mow some yards, babysit, whatever, and then go on a trip with your church or go somewhere and see another country. Another thing, though, that maybe you've never thought about, a second way to get involved in missions would be through like a missions internship program where you go and spend 2 or 3 months living with a missionary, coming to a place like Thailand and getting to see things behind the scenes, getting to find out what daily life is like, getting to go in people's homes and do things that you wouldn't get to do if you're only in a field or on the field for a few days. So that's a great way for you to get involved in missions. If you've got a summer, that would be a super thing to do. Take a summer and go to a mission field somewhere. A third way to get involved in missions, which I think I'm the most excited about, is considering doing something like a short-term missionary partnership with a missionary where you go and stay with them for maybe as much as 6 months to a year. For us, we know that God has called us to Thailand. My wife is called to Thailand. I'm called to Thailand. My kids are called to be here. We've been here for almost 10 years now. So we got here We have spent thousands of hours studying Thai and studying the language, studying the culture. Well, then we got in here and we were out in this rural northeastern corner. We're trying to teach people about Christ. And we had to spend so much time doing one really, really important thing. It was homeschooling, all right? Because we get all these kids. We either had to let them drop out of school or we had to find some help for homeschool. So we contacted a girl in Alabama and said, hey, would you want to come and stay with us for a year, homeschool the kids so that my wife can be out with me preaching. My wife doesn't preach much. Teaching, doing Bible studies, visiting with people. And when this girl came over and stayed with us, it opened up huge doors for us as a family to be able to do things that we previously weren't able to do. Because Thailand is what you call a pioneering mission field. That means that the gospel has virtually no impact in the culture here. There's so little Christian presence here. Roughly 0.5% of the country of Thailand is Christian. So what does that mean? It means that we need workers here. So me and my wife, when we are able to go out together, we're able to multiply the effort that we have here in this northeastern corner of Thailand. So when this girl came to stay with us for a year, it was huge. It was so helpful. So I guarantee if you ask some of your missionaries that your churches support, contact some mission boards and find out if there's any missionaries who'd be willing to have you come, I'm pretty sure you'd find somebody who would say, yes, we'd love to have you come. Obviously, a fourth and another last way that you could get involved in missions is commit your life to going overseas, preparing through college and so forth to go and serve the Lord full-time in missions. But obviously, not everybody's that fortunate, can be as fortunate as us to live overseas and hang out with elephants and live in a tropical world. But we're just asking you guys to consider doing something. Do something, no matter what it is, all right? A missions trip. Start there if you've never gone on a missions trip. A missions internship, especially for guys. If you're interested in doing something for a couple months, contact a missionary and just go live with them. It's cheap. Short-term missions partnership. Go to a mission field. In Thailand, there are thousands of schools here that will pay you to come, if you're a college graduate, and teach English for a year. It's a huge opportunity where people will pay you to come and be a missionary. So we would love to have you, love to tell you more about it if you're interested. But obviously, what we want to see is people serving the Lord in some way. So please, please, please just pray about going out and doing something with your life. All right? We're going to sign off. We're going to go do other missionary stuff, maybe go hang out with some more elephants today. So you guys say bye, and we're out of here.
Bye. Bye.
All right, a couple things you notice. First of all, from Thailand, is that elephants are very hungry, okay? But second of all, the opportunity to get paid to go teach English. You're a college grad. Someday, the Lord can just open up a door for you to go teach English, and you'll see that theme all throughout several of these videos. This next video is from a gentleman with a missions organization called Gospel Fellowship Association. I did not actually reach out to him personally, but I saw this video. Thought it'd be very helpful for what we're talking about. He is in a country in North Africa, and that is a closed country. And I know what country he's in, but they've asked us not to mention that country specifically in what he is doing. So here's next video from Dwight Ruley regarding North Africa.
I've always wanted to be in missions. I've always wanted to see the world, but see the peoples of the world, especially those that don't have access to the gospel. We partnered with GFA in doing some survey work, looking at different countries in North Africa, trying to see who is there, what is being done. As we prayed and as we searched for the answer of our calling, it became very apparent that God would have us to go and work in North Africa. I chose to start a social media marketing and development company in North Africa as a means to reside there and to promote the gospel within the country. GFA helped us find these opportunities in North Africa. Maybe you have a business opportunity, maybe you have a certain skill set, and you have to search that out and find out, what does God want you to be doing? People say, oh, you must be a great Christian. No, I have great struggles. I have great problems that you probably don't ever face. You probably don't even have. But we're willing to follow God. We're willing to do what He wants us to do and go go, go.
What caught my attention specifically on that video is that he's using a social media business to gain access to this country that you can't just come in and say, hey, I'm coming to be a missionary. But he's saying, you know what, I'm going to use a skill set that God has given me to go in and start a business, but then for the expressed purpose of helping to spread the gospel. Again, God being able to take whatever skill set you have, whatever gifts you have, and use it around the world to help spread the gospel. This next one is from some friends of mine. They've both been campers here at the Wilds, Mark and Rachel. I cannot give you their last name. They actually asked me not to give their last name. They're working in China, and he's got a very interesting way here of communicating to you a little bit about what they are doing.
Hey, campers. Hope you're having a great week this week at the Wilds. My name is Mark, and I'm here in Northeast China, where I teach at this university. And today, my wife, who's across town, we want to just take just a few minutes and talk about how important it is that we, as his followers, use everything that we have to make him known. When you come to a country like China, you can't come in on a normal visa to teach his word. So in order to be able to live here, our visa is through education. I'm a university teacher. I teach visiting scholars who are planning to go abroad to America and Canada and England. And my wife, who's across town, who you'll meet in just a minute, she teaches also at a hospital here in town. Just going across campus right here and on my bike, and want to just show you a few shots. In addition to teaching, we also use different avenues to bless this culture. One of those is through sports, and we want to take you over to the sports fields here on campus and show you around. But I'm gonna get across campus first, and I'll meet you over there, and we'll talk a little bit more. Just stopping by the basketball courts. Here is where many of us are able to spend time connecting with students and friends. Across the way here is the soccer fields just behind me here. I think you can see that. This morning I was out there playing. Again, using what God has given us to make him known in every way we can. Let's go on now to a bookstore owned and operated by local Chinese brothers and sisters. Another place that we use to connect and to speak and to bless this country. Well, we're here at Cornerstone. This is the bookstore that is owned by local Chinese brothers and sisters, and one of the venues that we spend a great deal of time at, along with our co-workers. Here's the shop right here behind me. And using this coffee and bookstore platform, along with our Chinese co-workers, to create venues for discussion clubs, both in Chinese and English, and other activities that come through this establishment as ways to communicate that there is a God who has come, who has sacrificed his son to reconcile the world to himself, to demonstrate an unimaginable love. And so it's pretty simple stuff, using our work, using sports, using coffee shops, all to try to make him known and to show that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It's all from him, through him, and for him. So we're going to go over across town, visit my wife, and see what's happening in the medical world. Hope you guys have a great week.
Hey guys, thanks for letting us join you for this short little section of camp. We are sitting here in the middle of kind of a square in the middle of our city of 7 million here in China, kind of in a concrete jungle. But in the background, you can see the hospital that I work with. God has allowed me to get training as a medical doctor. And so I teach at this hospital, teaching medical English and clinical communication to these doctors, teaching them basically just how to function in English as doctors and nurses. I also really am grateful for opportunity to work with kids with disabilities and to start some work with orphans and be able to communicate to people that people have value, all people have value, not because of what we can do and because of what we can, the job we can work, the grades we can get, but because of who made us. The one who made us is the one who gives us value. So that's been a great opportunity to be able to share that hope with others. I also just want to leave you guys with this. That is, this isn't what I was planning to be doing. When I sat in your seat, I thought I would be maybe in the middle of some jungle somewhere, green jungle. I'm in a concrete jungle. But I thought I'd be working at a mission hospital, saving hundreds of lives. And instead, God has put me in a position where I've been greatly humbled. He's really broken my pride, and I'm not doing what I thought I would be doing, but I've learned to be loved by Jesus in the place that I'm at, and to be humbled by Him, given mercy by Him, and to give up my plans and say, Jesus, what do you want? And it is such a privilege to be able to be a part of what He's doing. Not to make my plans succeed or be the hero myself, but to say, Jesus, your plans are the greatest, and to be able to participate in His great story that He's writing in all the earth, and see Him rescuing people, and to be able to share the little glimpses of grace and love that I've been given, to share that with others. What a gift.
Seeing the opportunities that they have, not coming in planting a church, you can't go in that way to China. But you notice there are several things they're doing. One is teaching English, okay? He's teaching in the university. And I also have friends that are not just teaching English places. They're using other subjects that they have studied and are well-trained in to go and teach overseas. She's been trained as a medical doctor and is using that skill set. How many of you are considering the medical field for college at some point, nurse or doctor, something like, okay, several of you. Just again saying, okay, Lord, maybe you would have me even use that overseas for your glory. And then sports. A lot of you love sports, and whether it's baseball or soccer or basketball, those three especially, I've had a privilege to be able to use around the world in several different avenues. And if that's something that you're interested in, God can use that to allow you to gain some access into places like this to help spread the gospel. All right, this next one is from a single young lady that is serving in Western Asia. Again, not able to put up the exact country where she is, but she's using her gifts. She graduated from Bob Jones University. She'll reference Greenville several times. That's the local city that she grew up in. But then she'll kind of transition how God has used things from there to help her pursue what she's doing now in Western Asia.
I teach English in Western Asia, and that's an opportunity for me to get into countries that are difficult to access at times. My first step in my journey overseas was actually as I developed an interest in literature. Literature for me is an opportunity to explore the big questions in life, like why are we here, what motivates people, and through that, I developed more my relationship with God and my understanding of who He is in the world, and I wanted to use that passion, like any other passion in my life, for His glory. So in giving that to Him, I saw the opportunity to teach English overseas as a way to get to places that are difficult to access. I actually first had opportunities with Muslim women, really more meaningful opportunities here in Greenville. I was working with an international student outreach, and there were several Muslim women, one Shia and two Sunni, who were willing to do a weekly Bible study. And that was a fabulous opportunity for me to see. We went creation to Christ to see how a Muslim woman first reacts to these Bible stories, comparing them to the Quran, and to see in kind of a comfortable relational environment the way that the Bible strikes them. I actually had to see Greenville as an opportunity first before I understood opportunities in the world. And I realized in the Greenville context first that if I do my job well, I'm passionate about it, and I care about the people around me, the conversations and significant questions will come. My biggest encouragement for students as they consider their careers, do what you do, whatever it is, to the best of your ability, and you'll find that you build meaningful relationships with people around you. Through GFA and some extended family members who were with GFA, I found an opportunity in the country where I am now, in Western Asia. It is definitely worth it. It's very exciting to see students start to ask questions on a personal level that they've never asked before, start to consider things that they've never considered before.
This next video is from someone that several of you will know, and it is from the talking about the city. It's actually a special region, a special administrative region that is called Hong Kong, and for many years was under the control of England, and recently has been turned over to China, but right now it's kind of its own little independent region. And how many of you have been to junior camp? Been to junior camp? Okay, Big Bob Roberts. A lot of you know him. You're going to be hearing from him here. And he and his wife for 4 years lived in Hong Kong and taught in a school there and had great opportunities to spread the gospel. So I'll let him tell more about that now.
Robert, some of you might know me as Big Bob because for the past 15 years, I've worked at the Wilds Junior Boot Camp program during the summertime. I'm here to tell you about what God did in my heart and my wife's heart in 2010 when we were working here at the Wilds and we met a man all the way from Hong Kong. Wasn't just any man, this was Pastor Wong from Hong Kong. And we got to talking and he said, Brother Bob, he says, I've got an opportunity to share with you. And he told me about how he was connected to a school with 1,200 secondary students and about 200 staff people. And he said, this school wants a man and a woman to come over there and teach conversational English. I thought that was kind of cool, but then he went on. And he said, they also want these people to be Christians. And furthermore, these people are able to share the love of Christ with the students. It was an amazing invitation, and it was like a light bulb moment. Like the Holy Spirit said, Bob, he's talking about you. So I went home and I asked my wife, I said, honey, what do you think about us going to Hong Kong? And she didn't bat an eye, and she says, boy, that sounds like us. And less than two months after meeting Cedric Wong from Hong Kong, we were living on the ground in Hong Kong. And it was a fantastic time and a wonderful opportunity. Just some of the highlights of our trip there. The principal asked me to give the lecture at the beginning of the morning assembly. Every morning, 1,200 students would stand out on these outdoor basketball courts while they were addressed by one of the teachers. And the principal says, we'd like you to do that. And I says, well, what would you like me to talk about? And he says, well, Mr. Roberts, you just share your heart. And so that was a total open door to just share the gospel. And that's what I did. I got up there and I just preached the gospel. And afterwards, he says, boy, I like what you said. He says, can you do it again? And I got to get up in front of the entire student body and all the staff about a dozen times during that first year that I was there. What an amazing, amazing opportunity. You know what opened the door for this opportunity is simply the English language. The English language is in such high demand in Asia. And so native English speakers are in tremendous demand. I've been able to open the doors for about 20 other young people, college graduates, to go and serve in area schools in Hong Kong where they're teaching conversational English, but at the same time, they're able to show the love of Jesus Christ. This is a very creative way to do missions. They don't need to go on deputation and raise money because these are paid positions. They're paid to teach over there. And the opportunities are just tremendous because they're actually doing life with so many of these staff and students.
Bob with his classic awkward ending, but there we go. I was able to be there in Hong Kong. I've been to Hong Kong 3 times now. Was there this past January and went with Bob, and we were back at the school that he taught for 4 years. One of the first times that I was there with Bob in Hong Kong, I got to stand up in front of the entire assembly and walk through the plan of salvation with all of the students at the school. Try doing that in a public school in the United States of America. It's just not going to happen. And the doors are open, and the only reason those students are having a chance to hear the gospel is because a husband and a wife said, you know what, we're willing to go, and using English speaking. They didn't even have English as their majors, but just because they speak English, they're able to have an opportunity. I was there, as I mentioned, in January. One of our counselors from last summer is actually there in Hong Kong right now. And while we were there, we were there purposely to talk to parents and students there at that school. And we have 22 of their students that are coming to camp here at the end of the summer, weeks 9 and 10. All because Bob and his wife were willing several years ago to say, you know what, Lord, our life's not our own. We want to do whatever you want, and we're even willing to move to Hong Kong if that's what you want. And so again, another opportunity, another creative way. This last one is with Tom and Melissa Kendall. Tom is a former counselor here. His wife Melissa was a lead counselor, and they are serving in Togo, Africa. And this will be our last video, then I'll give a couple closing comments.
To every one of you listening to my voice right now, from the very front row all the way to the very back, I've sat where you sit, and I've been where you are. And thinking back to when I was sitting in those chairs, I remember my thoughts racing back and forth from the conviction of the Holy Spirit to the fun activities planned for the day, even to the attractive girl across the auditorium. All that to say, I've lived in your shoes. And in light of that, I have prayed for you that somehow specifically God might use what I say to you to arrest your attention and change the trajectory of your life. My name is Tom Kendall, and in God's providence, I married that attractive girl across the auditorium, became a surgeon, and today we have 6 children and are missionaries in Togo, West Africa. So how did I get from the chairs in which you sit to an operating room halfway around the world? I settled it that I exist for God and not the other way around. And then faced with a command to go and make disciples of all nations, I looked to my left and to my right and I thought, if no one else will answer the call, I will. So in God's plan, I pursued medicine and surgery as a missions avenue. Why? Because I settled it that my life was not my own. It's God's, and I should use it for His glory. And you need to do the same. I exist, and you exist for Him. Then how did I decide what to do? I thought I'd like to be a surgeon. So I gave that desire completely to God. Now that's a crucial step. Remember Abraham and Isaac on the altar? And then God gave it back to me and opened up all the doors. And here I am in Africa, working in a mission hospital where we evangelize and disciple every single patient. Surgery isn't who I am. It's a tool I use in the service of God. It allows us to meet people, hurting and needy people, show them that we love them, live where they are, and point them to Jesus. That's my story. But the take-home message for you is not that I am a surgeon who happens to be a missionary, but that I am a missionary who happens to be a surgeon. What I want you to see is that the idea of full-time Christian service and the work of missions is broader than just being a preacher or a Christian school teacher. Did you catch that? It's any vocation you undertake as a child of God. At your next meal, you're going to recite, probably without even thinking about it, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You should think seriously about what that says. It's not just for one special group of Christians. It's for all of us. It is vital that you settle for yourself that God is the reason we exist. We all exist for Him, and therefore, the purpose for every single one of our actions should be to glorify Him. When that truth finally sinks in, then when you read or hear about the harvest fields just waiting for laborers, every obstacle that comes to your mind vanishes. The mission field? Bring it on. It's for God's glory I breathe and live and work. I am too messed up, you say? Not more than Paul. He was the greatest missionary who ever lived, and he consented to murder. I'm not a pastor, you object? Please. The body is made up of more parts than the mouth. If you are struggling with surrender, let me remind you that it is not defeat to surrender, but victory over your self-loving heart. Then you need to ask yourself why you exist. Giving yourself to God is a natural response to seeing who He is and what He has done. So you, sitting there, what would I say to you? You with the swirling thoughts about the future and questions like, how do I sort out life? How do I decide what to do and where to go? Number one, settle it that you exist for God's glory. Number two, start acting according to that truth. And number three, embrace the idea that full-time Christian service is just another name for the rest of your life. Think about this for a minute. What sort of personnel do you think you would need to run a hospital like where I am in Africa? Doctors? Nurses? Sure. But what about secretaries and ward clerks, nurses' aides, midwives, PAs, and don't forget maintenance workers? In fact, just look around you at the wilds. There are waitresses, lifeguards, landscape crews, sound techs, and so on, who are every bit in full-time Christian service as the preacher is. So, would you like to be an IT tech, a doctor, a nurse, a mommy? An engineer? A pilot? Do it. Do it in such a way that you are obeying God's command to go and make disciples somewhere. The command from Him is there, right? And know that behind His command is omnipotent power. All authority is given to Him. And also His reassuring promise, "Lo, I am with you always." Live the rest of your life in full-time service to Him.
I've watched that video, I think, three or four times now, and every time my eyes well up with tears. God can use each one of you if you will simply be willing to do whatever He wants for you. So what are our takeaways? What do we go away with from this? Okay, first of all, surrender to whatever God wants you to do. You may go, Matt, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. That's okay. Just be willing to say, Lord, I'll do whatever. It's not my life. What do you want me to do? Then start praying daily for God to direct your path. When I was a young man, my dad challenged me to pray Paul's prayer when he was on the road to Damascus. And when the light shined on him and he said, Lord, in other words, Master, the one in charge. And he said this, what will you have me to do? My dad just said, son, start praying that. I remember in elementary school praying that every night. Junior high, just saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Let that be your prayer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Be willing to do whatever He wants. And then, prepare for the possibility of overseas ministry. You say, what do you mean? Well, in a degree that you pursue, just have it in the back of your mind. You know what? I might be able to utilize this overseas someday. An education degree, a music degree, a medical degree, a pilot's license, an engineering degree, a social media or a technology degree. You can go on and on and on. And it doesn't mean for sure God wants you overseas, but have that in the back of your mind. You know, maybe I could use this overseas someday. Because the gospel is needed around the world. And then keep your eyes open to the harvest. This is what Jesus commanded his disciples. Look, the fields are wide unto harvest. There's much opportunity. So then pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. I close with these two quotes. One is from Jim Elliot, who went to Ecuador to minister to the Aka Indians and was killed at a very young age trying to reach them. And when I was a freshman in college, for the first time I read the book Shadow of the Almighty and was struck with his commitment to the Lord. A famous quote of his is this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." In other words, it's not foolish to give up your life. It's not yours anyway. So let God control it. And then this last one I'll mention is from missionary Dallas Washer, actually I believe the grandfather of the wife in the video you just saw. I love this quote. I heard it for the first time when I was here as a counselor. He said this: "I have but one candle. I have but one candle of life to burn. I would rather burn it out where people are dying in darkness than a land which is flooded with light." Folks, America is flooded with light. That doesn't mean that people are not needed here. I'm still here. People are needed here. Your pastors are needed here. But you know what? There are places around this world that have hardly any light of the gospel. Places like Thailand, North Africa, Western Asia, China, Togo. We could go on and on and on. So why not be willing to say, "Lord, my life is not my own. If you want me to go somewhere where there's not much light, I will take that opportunity and let my candle burn out for your glory."